That is going to be in Genesis 18. If my eye can start eating. We have to get somebody to read the first 5 verses. We'll talk about that before we go on.
Verse 5?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw 3 men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say."
Okay, thank you. Well, it's this particular beginning of this chapter is going to be dealing with Abraham, Sarah, and the Lord. And the Lord had a message to give to his servant Abraham and his wife, Sarah. Now, this, the title of this is The Son of Promise. And this particular chapter talks about the promise to Abraham and Sarah. You're going to have a child. Yeah. You're going to have a son. But I want you to look at some of the reaction of particularly Sarah, his wife. Somebody get for me, go down to go ahead and read verse. Start down to verse 6. And 18.
16.
Of Genesis.
And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. And he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "No, but you did laugh." Then the men set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?"
Thank you. Thank you. Let's look at a little bit of the chapter. First of all, God had news for both Abraham and Sarah. He told them, y'all want to have them. Y'all want to have a son. But the reaction of Sarah, when the Lord asked, then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? That's in verse 9. It's amazing. Sarah was listening, sitting in the tent door. She can only imagine having a child at her age. But the Lord said, with me, everything is possible. Everything. Not some of it. Everything. He certainly made an example, because he's the Almighty God. And he can do what he wants. And when he wants. He even gave him a year from now, you will have a child. That's one thing. I'm not going to go over the Genesis 20 and 21. I forgot. This came to me this morning about Abraham and Sarah's relationship. Certainly they were husband and wife. What do you know what else they were? They were half brother and half sister. Yeah. They had brother and half sister. A lot of people say, well, why did God allow that to happen? I always had one thing to say. Because God is God, he knew what he wanted. He's the head spirit in charge. And he loves some Abraham. Yeah, he loved him very much. But Sarah had a little doubt of his getting pregnant again at her age. And she never had a child. After all the years they've been married. But let us look at Sarah said, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord said, and the Lord said to Abraham, why does Sarah, and she laughed, really. She laughed. Because I think she found that amusing. That she would be having a child at her age. I think that Abraham, he trusted the Lord. He knew what the Lord would do. But Sarah was a woman, and I truly believe she loved her husband. And the Bible said, why did Sarah laugh, saying, I surely bear a child, since I am old? Is anything too late, too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for God? This was the great example about how he had a lot of compassion for them. But he really loved Abraham. Yes.
But I think we also have to remember Sarah is human.
Mm-hmm.
For all these years, she desired a child and couldn't have one. And now in her old age, she's told, you're going to have a child. If I put myself in her shoes, I think I would laugh too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 90 years old, and you're telling me I'm supposed to have a child? And I think at that point, humanity is just beginning to understand the power of God.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to understand it and like Abraham, to be in a deep relationship with God. And I think it was easier for Abraham to accept than Sarah. Here she is, a woman, and struggling, trying to get pregnant all these years,
mm-hmm.
and couldn't. And as a woman, you will give up after a while and say it's just not meant to be.
But God is a merciful God.
Yeah.
And he does what he wants. Yes.
I was thinking how funny, too, when she laughed. And then she said, no, I didn't. I said, yes, you did. And then
yeah,
but she ended up naming him Isaac, which also means laughter. Mm-hmm. That God had caused her to laugh in her old age. And I guess when you get that old, anything that makes you laugh is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually you're angry.
Yeah. But this is one of many stories in this book, mm-hmm. that is fully packed. You remember when we had reading through the Bible? Yeah, remember reading through the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. I thought that was one of the most exciting things I could possibly do, because it really opened my eyes up. This is the greatest book on God's green earth. This book, if I'm not wrong, I think it's the bestseller. I think everybody got at least one. Unlike myself, I have several. And a good Bible dictionary, a good commentary, things that will help aid you in understanding God's Word. That is one of the best things I have ever been able to do, is invest in godly material. Because I've learned over the years that you just can't make it. You can't make it without him. Can't make it without his word. But Sarah was full of laughter. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Brother Ray, can I ask a question? And it's not that, to me, and I know that there are more points to this story, it's not about, I'm going to say, Sarah's laughter, because everything everyone has said is true. But what about her response to, did you laugh? Because she's heard his promises, because in verse 15, she knew that she was going to have a child. She had heard it before. So, as Miss Judy said, and as Kathy said, you know, she was human, and she even named her son Isaac, which means laughter. But it's like, okay, I've heard this before. So, okay, but her answer to the question was, did you laugh? And she said no. So is it more so that she wasn't honest about her response to the gentleman when he asked, well, did you laugh? And not so for much. Because the human nature is you would laugh. I offered that before. Because God promised her that she would have a child. And Abraham would be the father of many nations, and she would be the mother. But you weren't honest about your response when you were.
Yeah. Well, she may not have been, but she was probably more. Well, like a lot of us, we get a little skeptical about whether or not something really going to happen. But if God said it, that's it. That's it. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, bro. Yeah.
You know, a lot bigger deal than it is today. People do it all the time. You can't trust anybody. But back then, she knew were special because her husband had made such a big fuss over them coming, knowing that they were from God. So lying to somebody who came from God is a really big deal.
And she
was afraid.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, brother. What's it?
Yeah, I was just going to say that in agreement with her, that she was afraid. That's why she left. Mm-hmm. To be told that you're going to have a child and realize it too, like she said, that these people that she, her and her husband are entertaining, she know they weren't just regular people. Mm-hmm. So she was afraid of being punished. Maybe they would change their mind and say, okay, if you laugh, then well, you're not going to have a child, man. And I've been waiting and trying to get one for so long. Mm-hmm. She was afraid of what the outcome, not so much, I don't think, for her own life, but more so afraid of what might would happen, not knowing what would come next. She was just afraid.
One thing I do believe, thank you, is the fact that God is merciful. You know, in spite of the things that some people do, there are some things he doesn't look at as hard. You know? I see a couple of hands.
Well, I was going to say, you have to remember that promise wasn't only given to Sarah. It was given to Abraham as well.
Yes.
The Lord spoke to Abraham and said, your wife Sarah will have that child.
Yeah.
And we also have to remember, did Sarah know that it came, that the Lord said that, or that it was just one of God's messengers?
Oh, yeah.
Because one of these three gentlemen had to be the Lord
mm-hmm.
to talk to Sarah and talk to Abraham. And later on, as we go later on in the story, you really realize the conversation that Abraham has with the Lord himself, when the other two are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Lord is all capitalized, which means God.
Yeah.
That's God. Presence of God.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the Lord said that Sarah would have a child, but it's also a promise for Abraham. And through your seed, all nations
will
be blessed, you know.
Yeah.
And not through Sarah's seed, but through your seed.
Yeah.
Which Sarah would have to have it, but it shows that the blessing was not only for Sarah, but it was
for
Abraham
him
as well.
All right. Thank you. Yes, Brian.
The other thing you got to consider, too, it's God's perfect timing.
Yeah.
Sarah had to really understand, because at this point you see that she had all the doubt in the world. When she did have a baby, that it was because of the Lord and nothing that she did.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're the same way. We kind of, when something occurs, oh, maybe I had a hand in it. There was no doubt with this scenario that this was from the Lord. That Sarah was at that point in her life that, hey, there's no way. Everything's possible. I'm old. There's no way I can have a baby. She knew when that occurred that I was a gift from God.
You know, I wonder all the time when I read the Old Testament, because the Lord always dealt with the head of the household. So the women were not exposed to the Lord like the men were, if I'm correct in this. So surely the faith of the men would be much stronger than the faith of the women, because they had more personal experience with the Lord. So that could be why Sarah acted the way she did as well.
Could have been. Could very well have been. Thank you. How amazing is our God who could have a conversation with the people he wanted to touch and get in contact with. This is one of the things. Children, we know that he doesn't talk to anybody today in those terms. But that was great. That was really great. Now, on verse 13, it says, and the Lord said, and y'all already discussed it, to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? That is, well, it shows a little bit of doubt on Sarah's part. Yeah. He didn't get mad with her. No, he didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
anybody here that's 90 years old is
going to
laugh and say,
yeah. That's really something to think about. It really is. But you know, what I find amazing is God is so powerful and so right. When it comes to things, he's going to get done. That a lot of people don't have the capacity to think that even the Lord could do it. But one thing I know about God, from all my reading of it, he's a spirit that always did what he wanted to do. Anybody that power that could make us on the dust of the earth and do the things that he did for us and is still doing for us, mm-hmm. We're very blessed. We're very blessed.
You know, Ray, what I find interesting too is that after Sarah left, God said that in a year from now,
yeah,
you know, that means to say to me, almost like I'm going to prove it to her that it comes from the Lord.
Oh yeah.
In a year from now, so when it happened, there should have been no doubt in Sarah's mind.
Oh yeah.
From the Lord,
yeah.
And then her faith in God should have had grown from that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only that, too, because it's been 13 years.
Yeah.
You know, she's been waiting a long time, and you know our timeline is like. And God's timeline is like, and
yeah.
You know, and we just get so impatient. So after a while, we take things in our own hands, and then we're those already we did. Mm-hmm. If we'd waited on God in the first place, mm-hmm. She'd have been a whole lot better off. But it's God's plan, you know, we had to have issues.
It was a little different between her and Hannah, as you know.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of similarities there. They both were going through the same thing,
right.
And neither of them had for able to have children. But I am so glad, thankful that God is merciful. You know, it's one of the things I pray for all the time, mercy. Because I don't know what the outcome is going to be in life the rest of my life. But I do know if I try to stay and God's unchanging aim, right. I have a better chance of being with him in eternity. I often, because I think a lot, not a lot I think, about where I was and how far I've come over the years. And it certainly wasn't because of me. But God said, boy, I'm going to teach you a few lessons. Yes, I'm going to teach you some things. Remember when you didn't take care of your diabetes like a shut up? That was your fault. He didn't say it like that, but I'm sure he's thinking in the back of his spiritual mind. A lot of things that goes on with us, we bring on ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, once things come, we had to learn how to deal with it. Yeah. And then I've been a diabetic for 40 years. But my wife told me something the other day. She may have forgotten it, but I don't forget because I listen. She told me, said, you got to stop focusing so much on yourself and think a little bit more of others. Well, that kind of hit the boy. And so I said, well, there's some things I need to change and do better. And it's not always easy to do. Especially for men sometimes. But I'm glad for my wife. When the Lord said he's going to give a man a helpmate, he meant it. I said, I don't know. I can't make it. It's hard without her. Oh, but she does so much for me. But it's good to have a good, strong helpmate. It really is. It's an amazing thing. Let's look at verse. Abraham is going to intercede for Sodom. Now, that's what I found about this particular part of the 18th chapter of Genesis. The conversation that Abraham had with the Almighty God. If you don't mind, let somebody get read from verse 16. Well, you got to almost read the whole chapter. What? I thought it was 17. 16. Abraham intercedes for Sodom. That's verse 16. Thank you, honey. Yep. Let's read verses 16 down to verse. Just to start, verse 21.
And the men got up to look, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if they have done as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. You want me to read further?
Is that 21? That's all the 21.
The man turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Anymore?
That's it. Okay. Let's look at Abraham. God had already pretty much made his mind up about what he's going to do with Sodom. Because that was a wicked city, wicked town. And Abraham was a guy that didn't want people to just die. So he had a conversation with with God himself. And the thing that I like about this great aunt Abraham, did you read Jonah 2, did you? Jonah 3.
Pardon?
23? Yeah, read that part.
And Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" Want me to read further?
That's a major question. The righteous with the wicked. Mm-hmm. Now, Abraham is thinking about the mercy that God could bring on them. We can look at this book and look at this chapter and see that Abraham had a lot of compassion for these people. So if you go down, let's go down to verse 26 says, "So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all of the place for their sakes." I like the conversation that is between God and Abraham. And Abraham certainly was a guy that wanted mercy for the people. Didn't want them destroyed. And Abraham answered and said, "Indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. For there were five less than 50. Well, that's... So he said, "If I find there are 45, I will not destroy." Can you imagine Abraham going back and forth? He was going back and forth to the city to see if he could find some folk that are going to obey the Lord and do what he said.
Well, his nephew Lot was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what Lot was. Yeah. You know, the interesting story about Abraham and Lot. Abraham gave Lot the choice. They both had a lot of possessions. Cattle or sheep. But he told, come on, he simply told him, "You can choose wherever you want to go. And I'll take the other man." That's the kind of man Abraham was. You know. But God had to deal with these folk. Had to deal with them, but they didn't want to do right. And he spoke to him in verse 29. Yet again, I said, "Suppose there should be 40 found there." So he said, "I will not do it for the sake of the 40. Saying like God was reasonable.
God face to face. I mean, they were like, you know, they were like throwing off their sandals and prostrating themselves before the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Bartering
and
him.
Here he is standing face to face with God. He knows it's God.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's saying, well, I've heard the cries of the people. Well, who else is going to hear the cries of the people? Mm-hmm. Except God himself.
Yeah.
So true. He knows it's God. But yet, God doesn't demand that he lay himself before him. Neither does he take it upon himself to do that.
Yeah.
But he's talking face to face with God.
With God.
See, that reminds me of the garden when the Lord walked with Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. And they communed together. So it shows the relationship that God really wants with man. And that he's willing to listen and willing to consider the reasoning that we have for approaching God.
Mm-hmm.
with our wants and desires. And it also proves that man, through prayer, can change what God is getting ready to do. That takes me back to Moses and with Miriam and Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
When God got so frustrated with them and was going to kill them. And Moses interceded, not just for her, but he would intercede for the nations.
Yeah,
and
for the people.
The will of God.
Yeah.
So, man, in this one and in all these other ones prior, it shows how much influence our prayers can have on God. If it comes from a righteous heart, those prayers can change so much. And it says in there, you know, the prayers of a righteous person can cover up a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
And it again points to that relationship.
Yeah.
Do you have that relationship to, you know, deal with God?
Yeah.
The
whole bunch of hands up. Yeah.
Okay. Judah, like you were saying, you know, it's a relationship that we see that people had back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, they approached him boldly.
Mm-hmm.
But have you not been in situations that you saw God's hand?
Oh, I do all the time.
In that situation. And I'm going to say, like, doing traffic.
Okay.
And someone is coming right at you. I know I've been in it many a time. Someone coming right at you, and you just know, oh my God, they're going to hit me, Lord, please don't let this happen, Lord. That's what I'd be like, Lord, please stop this call, or Lord, please stop me, and it happens.
Yeah.
Who's doing that? It sure won't me, and it sure won't that person, because we coming right at each other.
Right.
Jesus, thank you. All you have to do, like you said, cry out.
Yeah.
To him. If it was going to happen, it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason God wanted it to happen. Mm-hmm. Or for whatever reason it was going to happen. But if you really, Lord, because I know I have been in those situations. You driving on, he come a car. Pull it out in front of me. I'm like, Lord, please stop your car. Please, because I'm right at them. Stop me or stop them. In other situations we have been in, Lord, please don't let this happen. Please don't let this happen. And it's
on. Yeah.
Who power is that? It's not mine. I don't have no power whatsoever. No power.
Brother, right. I was thinking about, you know, that's so true. That is so true so many times in our lives. And we have to remember that. When we
that's
get in
right.
a situation, we're thinking, oh, what am I going to wait a minute, God did
yeah.
it for me.
Yeah.
He got me under his wing. But what Lynette said about, you know, the boldness, each time that Abraham had talked to God, just about every time, all the way down from 50 to 10, he was humbled in a way that he says, I'm just ashes. I'm nothing but dust and ashes. Please don't be angry with me. May I come at you one more time? You know, he had that wonderful relationship we want to have with the Lord, and we do. But he was humbled in that respect. He did.
Yeah.
So, but you know, when, and also some, she said the outcry. Wahoo was outcrying about them because they were all evil. If he couldn't even find 10 people there, that little outcry must have been Lot and his family. And I think to myself, gosh, if it was that bad, you should have moved, you know? But he didn't. He stayed. And maybe he hoped to save people, but there weren't even 10 righteous in that town.
Yeah.
So, but God saw how evil it was, and I guess that was in his mind to just wipe them all out. He has a plan. And when he saves us, like Charlotte, he knows, I'm not done with that woman. I need her more than I need her to be in smithereens on the ground. Just like us. He needs us. We're the mighty few at Edge Hill, Lord. And I know that to be a fact. And we're going to hang in there together, and we're going to make this church grow. And we have to wait on God's timing and God's plan and trust him like he's been taking care of us all our lives up to this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I have seen the hands of the Lord so many times in my life, within my family and with people that I know, and prayers have performed miracles with those people that we have prayed for. So I cannot deny that a close relationship with God and a sincere heart cannot infect.
Yeah.
Approach God and make it a better outcome than what you would have ever thought it would be. And trust in the Lord that he will do what he wants to do. And let it be his will to be done, not ours.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I saw. That's you. Oh, I'm sorry.
So is Abraham the only one who was this bold and humble that went to God like this?
No.
Well, I know other people went to God.
Yeah. But Abraham was a guy that God truly loved. But also, Abraham knew who he was talking to. Mm-hmm. He was talking to God. And there were others in the Bible and Scripture that talked to God.
Right, but was he the only one who had, like,
I don't understand. Is he the only one who did what?
Like, bartered with God.
I'm thinking of Job.
Moses.
Yeah, Job.
Moses.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, but he still bartered for the nation.
He had to take off the sandals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
and he didn't actually see God.
Right? No. Take off your sandals. But the ground you're standing on is holy ground. So.
Talking like I am to you. You know, somebody in bodily form.
Yeah.
So, no, you're going. Back, yeah. I'm going to make you a special vessel.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there
special
actually,
delivery, you know.
But was he actually, like, seeing God?
Oh,
But if I'm understanding your question, that there was this discussion
right,
between
with
God
else
and,
oh.
And an individual.
Oh, yeah. Speaking with God. Probably all So what is your question?
Was he the only one face to face having a discussion with God and bartering and questioning and
Abraham was not the only one.
Okay, so he's not
to do that. Because there were others understood the power of God, but they were comfortable enough where they could talk to him. He also called some while they were in the street to tell them one of them was Samuel himself. He was one, and then there were many others. But God is mighty. And he can do anything. Yeah.
God was not in human form.
No. But God is there to protect his people. That's what he did.
Can I just make a comment, Rick?
Yeah.
In relation to both of you all's questions, I think one of the main things that you have to understand is the circumstance and the situation. That's what was most important. In the case where you're talking about with Abraham, God came to Abraham. Abraham didn't go to God. God came to him. He came down to his level.
Yeah.
So that he was able to converse with him face to face. So we know from scriptures that no one can look on the face of God and still live. Moses is the only one that came close to that, but he didn't look on God's face.
Mm-hmm.
But he still had a difference. His face looked different when he came out of that mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in each situation, is something is different. And the way people approach God, other people in the Bible that approached God and had talked with God, it was a different situation. It was no same situation. Even with Job was bold enough to confront God because he didn't think that God was treating him right. The only thing he wanted to know was why was he being treated that way when he considered himself to be a good person. But when God confronted him and told him, well, you think you're so good, then let me explain to me about this, that, and the other, which he realized, I have no answer. I can't say that. I don't overstep my bounds. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the situation, it's whatever the situation calls for. And this is how God approaches each and every one of us.
Yep.
You know, whatever the situation, he's not going to approach you the same way he approached me.
No.
Because our situation will be different. Right. But he will see it answer our prayers.
Yeah.
And when he'll listen to us, well, thank God that we do have an avenue of prayer, a way, an avenue of which we can approach God all the same. But our answers are not going to be the same.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's going to answer your question now, but you have to consider the fact that it's a different situation and how Abraham bonded with God. Abraham was more, I think, concerned about his 10 people that was there in that area that was about to be destroyed, more so than anybody else. Because his family was there.
And then that, okay, Wes, because Amy was the one that asked the question, so we're starting to go, ready my head to go. Wait a minute. So, like, in other words, okay. what you are saying is it might be necessary for him to appear to you person to person like that in that situation. But for me, it might not be necessary. It might be just that voice, you know, that him talking to me, you know, in my thoughts, in the voice or whatever, because that's necessary for me.
Right. Yeah, but that, right? He was talking face to face with God, he still was not right in the.
He didn't see God.
It's now time for us to close. I'm sorry to cut you this good. But it's time for us to go. The discussion was good.
Okay.
We'll do it again next time. Thank you.
Thank you.